Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Standard Edition. I am Kyle Neighbors. I'm filling in for our usual host, John Sally, but I am joined as always with Pro Football Weekly editor, Arthur Arkish. Arthur, just before we sat down here, we had breaking news that the Houston Texans fear that Deshaun Watson tore his ACL today in practice, a non-contact injury. Just awful news to hear out of Houston, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. He was not, a rookie revelation, a fantasy football revelation, had kind of taken the league by storm, obviously, QB2 overall. And I don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure since he started, after halftime, I'm sure he's been QB1 since he's been on the field. So, you hope for the best. He did have a torn ACL at Clemson, I believe, as well. This just broke. I believe Ian Rappaport had it first. I don't even know what knee it is. So you just hope for the best for them. And obviously for a Texans team already trying to overcome the losses of J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus, it's a season changer. It could be a franchise altering injury. So you just hope for the best.
Yeah, it's terrible. Not just from the fact that as football fans, he's been so much fun to watch since he started in the game. And then in our the Pro Football Weekly Professional League that I'm in with Blog Talk Radio, I was off to an 0-2 start and was lucky enough to snag Deshaun Watson and had really turned my season around. And I'm not looking forward to have to go back to Cam Newton. That's just not a roller coaster I want to get back on.
Yeah, I don't blame you, but I'll tell you, you have a better fallback option than a lot of fantasy owners, and obviously the Texans now having to try and get the toothpaste back in the tube that is Tom Savage, if you will. So, I don't know what to say. Deshaun Watson was certainly our QB1 overall this week at home versus the Colts, and you just hope for the best. Bill O'Brien hasn't had quarterback stability since he's been there, and it lasted all of seven games for him.
Yeah, well, I guess let's go ahead and jump into the game. We'll start with that game, given the news. You're already playing Lamar Miller this week. I like the matchup for Lamar. DeAndre Hopkins stay in your lineup, but on the Houston side, what else can you play here? I've been a big Will Fuller fan from the beginning, but I'm not sure you're going to get enough out of this passing game to be able to keep plugging him in.
I don't disagree per se, but I made the mistake of sitting Will Fuller last week, actually. So I was just about to say, I'm not sitting Will Fuller as hot as he's been, but I'm the idiot who did. So I don't think I'm doing it twice in a row, to be honest, even with the quarterback change, just because that Colts secondary has been such a disaster too. So I think he stayed the course here. I mean, Bill O'Brien's supposed to be this quarterback guru, and he is the one who went with Tom Savage at least for a half this season. So now they got to kind of circle the wagon. And tough situation, of course, but I think you still roll with the two big wideouts and you stick with your running back too. On the Colts side, Kyle, I had them as an offense to potentially exploit this week. That might be crazy, but the Texans defense, obviously a shadow of its former self, and with guys like Jacoby Brissett, who gives you the dual threat ability on a bye week, and Marlon Mack starting to pick it up, and you figure, at least we did figure 10 minutes ago, the Colts were going to be trailing a lot in this one. That could create some opportunities in the passing game for Marlon Mack as well.
Yeah, I think that this is a good spot to target some Colts. If you need a streamer at quarterback, I thought Jacoby Brissett had a pretty big upside this week in this matchup. The Houston defense is just, all the injuries have sapped its effectiveness. I thought the Colts were going to be able to move the ball pretty well. People that have been holding on to T.Y. Hilton, I thought, were in for a big week too. Of that, Jack Doyle, people that have had Jack Doyle on their lineup are feeling pretty good after last week, and I think this is another good matchup for him. Anyone else, though?
No, I think you hit on the guys. Everyone was dropping passes last week except for Jack Doyle. That helped him. I think he brought in 12 of them for 100 and something yards. So, yeah, I think you definitely roll Doyle back out there. And, again, I mean, Marlon Mack, I believe, is the back if you're looking for one in that Colts backfield at this point. But yeah, I wouldn't get too cute with the Dante Moncriefs or the Kamar Akins or the Chester Rogerses of the world, Kyle.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, at least with Dante Moncrief. Let's move on to Denver at Philly. We got a change here at quarterback for the Broncos. Brock Osweiler coming back into the starting lineup here in Denver. Does that give you any more interest in the Denver offense?
No, but it gives me far less interest. You know, I know Trevor Siemian wasn't playing well, obviously, but all we need to do is look at DeAndre Hopkins 2016 versus DeAndre Hopkins 2017 to see the effect Brock Osweiler can have on an offense. So, no, absolutely, I'm not interested any more so in any Broncos. It was encouraging that they got that run game going a little bit against the Chiefs, but now things are in disarray again. What do you think, Kyle?
Brock.
The good news, Kyle, I guess, is if Brock Osweiler can actually protect the football, then maybe they can sustain some offense with that run game that has shown some life, and actually with Devontae Booker too. So that, I guess, would be the upshot here, is that Trevor Siemian sitting on the bench because he couldn't protect the football, but Brock Osweiler, of course, is now back with the Broncos the second time because he couldn't protect the football. So hard to feel too convinced that suddenly that message has gone through.
Yeah, I mean, it should help. It does sound like Emmanuel Sanders is going to play. Okay. This Philly defense is beatable through the air. Okay. Yeah, it's not a great situation in Denver.
What about on the Philly side? Obviously, Kyle, is where more intrigue lies. What'd you make of the Jay Ajayi trade and, you know, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey playing better, but do you trust him against that Broncos secondary?
No, I'm not attacking. I'm not attacking this Denver secondary. It's at this point, continues to play well. You know, I think you can make a play if you have Alshon Jeffrey. You're probably plugging him in, but I'm not taking a chance on deep balls to Nelson Aguilar. You know, they consistently funnel the ball over the middle, the Denver defense that is. And, you know, if Philly's going to score in this game, which I think they're going to put up at least, you know, a few touchdowns, it's going to probably be the Zach Ertz show again.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of Jay Ajayi? Probably going to need a couple weeks, I would think, to get into this offense.
Yeah, I would think so too. And the only defense I believe that's been tougher on backs this season than Philadelphia's is Denver. So not a great spot for his debut. Further kind of muddling the picture, Doug Peterson says LeGarrette Blount's role won't change. I don't believe that, but I do maybe believe that at least for Sunday. So, I don't think I'm probably throwing Ajayi out there, and I think you probably do have to roll Blount out there, just hoping he's the guy, as you said, that falls into the end zone once or twice. Kyle, we should add, and I'm not trying to raise more red flags than needed. I don't know if it's serious at all. He was limited in practice, so obviously it could be much worse, but Zach Ertz made his first appearance on the Eagles injury report all season as we tape here on Thursday, limited participant because of a hamstring injury. He said he'll be fine. Again, I wouldn't worry about it too much yet, but it is a little disappointing after the unbelievable role he's been on that he does show up there for the first time.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too serious, but definitely something we need to check into this weekend.
Exactly.
All right. I think we can go ahead and move on to a game that doesn't have a lot of fantasy fun in it, and that is Cincinnati at Jacksonville. you know, everyone keeps hoping the Joe Mixon game is going to come. You know, Jacksonville's a pretty good matchup for him. If it's going to happen, it should happen this week, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, no one's doing any business through the air, of course, on on that Jacksonville secondary, that Jacksonville pass defense, and that doesn't figure to change this week. Andy Dalton's offensive line still a major issue. They're hurting outside AJ Green too, I believe. Brandon LaFell hasn't been in practice this week, so that won't help. And you know, I'm not that you'd give up on Mixon per se, but you want to kind of say, okay, maybe it's not happening this year. And then he has that one play. I don't know if you saw that 68-yard screen, the catch and run, but just he'll wow you and remind you of what a special, you know, talent he is. He's averaging like 3 yards per carry on the ground, so it has not happened as a traditional running back yet. But like you said, I'd imagine the volume has to be there this week. I've got an RB1 grade on him because I just keep throwing him back out there for some reason.
Yeah,
I take it back. RB14, so okay. I'm right on the fringe this week. Sorry, yeah,
18 rushing yards on 11 attempts against the Colts last week at home is not encouraging. Their offensive line is in terrible shape.
Yeah, and we'll just, to put it nicely, the Jaguars defensive line is a little bit better than the Colts defensive line. So,
on the other side of the ball, you know, Leonard Fournette continues to be a stud. Mm-hmm. Should be in pretty good shape here coming off the bye. Do you have any interest in anyone else outside of him? Marquise Lee and Alan Hearns. I don't really see a reason to plug either of those guys in, but maybe you have some insight that I'm not thinking of here.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do have a name that you didn't mention. What about D.D. Westbrook? You got the Biletnikoff Award winner, comes off IR this week. He led the entire preseason, he led the entire NFL this preseason in receiving yardage, a couple long explosive touchdowns. I'm not necessarily saying this week. The Bengals are pretty darn good on defense and have some pretty top-notch corners, but just keep an eye on it, I guess. Marquise Lee, I believe, has been banged up this week. I don't know what his status at Thursday's practice was, but just worth a reminder that D.D. Westbrook is this regime's guy, unlike both Hearns and Marquise Lee, and I think before it's all said and done this season anyway, D.D. Westbrook could find himself in the fantasy-relevant conversation.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a guy that if you have a roster spot to spare, you should stash. I agree with you. I don't think it's coming this week, but a couple weeks down the road, I think that he's going to probably have a breakout game here. But outside of that, I think we can move on to another game that probably doesn't have a ton of fantasy potential, at least on one side, Baltimore at Tennessee. This Baltimore offense continues to underperform. I'm a little more interested in Tennessee coming off the bye. Marcus Mariota sounds like he's healthy. DeMarco Murray looks good, healthy, finally doesn't have an injury tag on him this week. Corey Davis back healthy. The only real question mark for them is Delanie Walker, but do you think this is a spot that the Tennessee offense can finally maybe get on track here?
I'm not super confident. I guess I have him actually in my exploit category this week, so I better have some confidence. And obviously it would be in that run game and a healthy DeMarco Murray coming off the bye. But certainly the Ravens showed some teeth, defending the run for one of the few times we've seen it this season last Thursday, and they come off the mini bye. So, you got Marcus Mariota a little healthier. So yeah, I mean, if you have your Titans, I guess you're throwing them out there this week. Let's stick with the rookie wide receivers though for a minute. We just talked D.D. Westbrook, and now moving way, way, way up the draft pecking order. The first guy off the board, of course, in April, fifth overall pick Corey Davis, will be back on the field healthy for the first time since week one. Tough matchup this week, but what do you think about kind of rest of season outlook for Corey Davis, Kyle?
I like him quite a bit. They had no problem. He was kind of banged up during the preseason, if you remember. And then he came out in week one and he played almost 70% of the snaps. So they clearly trust him. Eric Decker looks washed at this point. I think Corey Davis is going to be in play right away, actually. I think if you're really looking for a WR3 or flex, I think that he is a guy that you can put in there and has a pretty high ceiling. I actually think this Baltimore secondary is overrated. They've had a pretty weak slate of quarterbacks that they've faced. It's going to get tougher here. And I think this is actually a kind of a sneaky spot for Tennessee overall.
Interesting. Yeah, you're definitely right about Corey Davis. They said they're inserting him right back in as a starter. I think, as you said, 10 targets in week one after missing the entire preseason. So we'll see. You spend the fifth overall pick on him. It surprised a lot of us at the time, but I can't wait to see what he does. And I actually dropped, I got Kenyon Drake. I didn't use a waiver spot on it, but he happened to pass through. So I went and grabbed Kenyon Drake. And then I thought better of it, and I dropped Drake, and I grabbed Corey Davis in one league where I was kind of wide receiver starved. So I'm hoping that pays off.
Yeah, I think you're going to be in good shape. You're going to be a happy man in about 2 weeks.
All right. Well, we'll get to Miami and talk about that backfield here soon enough, but I appreciate the vote of confidence there, Kyle.
moving over to the NFC South battle here, we have Atlanta at Carolina. Cam Newton just breaking my heart here. Dream matchup against Tampa Bay last week and continued to just play really poorly. Can he bounce back against the Atlanta defense this week, Arthur?
Well, it's another dream matchup. I believe it's at home. So maybe, your heart's broken by Cam Newton and his heart's broken by the Kelvin Benjamin trade. So, he's one of the NFL's more unpredictable, volatile individuals as it is. And now they trade away the guy that he said he wants to be in a foxhole with a few days ago. So just an absolute wild card spot here for Cam Newton. But again, the good news is that Falcons defense really stinks. And that's a group that's kind of reeling right now too. So, you know, Devin Funchess gets a huge boost. He'll get a chance to go up against Desmond Trufant, who had his issues, has had his issues of late, actually. And then Christian McCaffrey, I mean, if he can even see more targets, I guess he's going to. Curtis Samuel, to me, is the potential interesting figure here. Do you think Samuel can find a way to get on the fantasy relevant stage by the end of his rookie year, now with seemingly more opportunity in front of him?
I think he has to, right?
You would think so.
Him and Rashad Shepard, I'm not sure. It sounds like that Curtis Samuel is going to get the first crack at it. Do you have any insight? Like, what was the motivation behind trading Kelvin Benjamin at this point?
Yeah, I do. Thanks to the Charlotte Observer, Joe Person got interim general manager Marty Herney on the phone this week. Go check out the story. Herney said he was pretty clear about it. He said they wanted to get more speed on the field. He said they wanted to get more opportunities to have the box be less clogged. So I get the first part, because obviously Kelvin Benjamin's never going to be a burner, and now he's dealing with a little bit of a knee issue, the same one he tore 2 years ago. I get that part, but I don't understand how he thinks taking away the best deep threat in his offense is going to create more running space underneath. So it's like I was with him for a minute, and then I didn't really get it. But I just Cam's been so unreliable this season. And I have a total startable grade on him. I think he's QB6 or QB7 this week, but I'm not going to feel real confident about it. Kyle, what do you think about the Falcons? You've been out in front of their struggles. And did they get well versus the Jets? They got a win they needed to have. But do you have more confidence now as we talk a week later?
No, not really. I mean,
yeah.
When Josh McCown was moving the ball pretty easily against that Falcons defense. Matt Ryan still had a couple touchdown passes. They're still not getting Julio Jones involved enough in this offense. At this point, I don't know what it's going to take for them to realize that they just need to feed him the ball. I think if you have Mohamed Sanu, he's a guy that continues to get red zone looks, and you can probably fire him up, but I don't like this Atlanta team at all.
Here's my question for you real quick, though, Kyle. I haven't had a chance to crunch the data as much as I would like, but I'm curious, from what I understand, from what I've read in a few spots, the usage of Julio hasn't changed much in the first year under Sarkisian. Can you kind of expand or tell me I'm crazy with that? I know I read that somewhere this week.
I have not seen that. I don't know how that's possible.
Well, he was never a big red zone threat.
No, he was never a big red zone threat, but he was getting more red zone looks than this in the past. Now they have, I guess the encouraging sign is even last week he didn't find the end zone, but they did get him two looks in the red zone, which, you know, for Julio Jones, that's a ton. There's not a lot of creativity with this offense. You know, you kind of know what you're getting based on down and distance. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's a problem, and it sounds like one that should be avoidable with just how dynamic the skill set is there with those backs. Now, Kyle, let me ask you this. This is Devontae Freeman. I believe he got nicked up with a shoulder injury last week. He's expected to play. Do you anticipate this changes anything at all with the way Devonta versus Tevin Coleman gets run out there?
No, it sounded like a stinger, not like it was a terrible injury. So I think that you're going to continue to see them to have that pretty consistent workload. I think it's been about a 60-40 split. I don't think that's going to change. This is just not a game that that interests me very much. I don't know about you.
It's just wild to think about that, because going into the season, we probably both would have been pretty excited about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. Let's go ahead and move on to the Los Angeles Rams heading across country to face the New York Giants. And I actually think this is kind of a sneaky spot here for the Rams. Obviously, Todd Gurley should be in a position to feast, but I kind of like the passing game here. How about you?
We'll see. Janoris Jenkins is suspended, so maybe it's the opportunity that Sammy Watkins has been waiting for. Cooper Kupp is going to get some favorable opportunities in the slot. I guess what kind of confounds or what concerns me about this Rams passing offense, Kyle, is just the unpredictable nature of it. You've got Cooper Kupp is kind of the steadiest force, but Watkins, and I know you're a big Sammy Watkins fan, but it just doesn't seem like they've been able to consistently assimilate him. Do you think this is the spot where maybe he goes off with Jenkins out of the equation?
So this is how I'm viewing it. It sounds like Rogers Cromartie is going to stay in the slot. So I'm not going to, I would probably stay away from Cooper Kupp, which means Eli Apple is going to be on the outside.
Before you go there, and I know where you're going, okay. He's been playing better, at least. I know he still has that target on his back, and that's not going to change, but he has been playing better, I believe.
Yeah, I'm still going to target Eli Apple any chance
I get. Yes, and I am too. Yep,
I agree. So I actually think it kind of depends on what you need here. If either of these guys are available, and I doubt they are, I think they're both startable. Robert Woods is not going to be a ceiling guy ever, I don't think. He's going to get more targets. He's going to get 7 or 8, but he's not going to have the big plays. Sammy Watkins is going to be the guy that has a very low floor, but there's going to be certain matchups. And John Sile and I talked about this in our DFS one. There's just going to be a few games a year where he blows up. We've already seen it happen once. I think this is a matchup where he can do it. I'm not confident enough to say that I'm 100% certain it is, because it just seems to be kind of random with him. But if you're in a position where you feel like you need some extra points this week and you're trying to decide between a few guys, I think Sammy Watkins has one of those ceiling weeks potentially.
Okay, yeah, I can get down with that. What about on the Giants side, Kyle? Is there anything you feel good about? They get Sterling Shepard back healthy this week. That's obviously going to be a much-needed boost, but we don't have any clarity in the backfield still, right? I'm sure not.
I was going to ask you. Have you heard anything here? Wayne Gallman, Orleans Darkwa, anyone kind of have an edge?
I can't say I've heard anything, but I can say my hunch is definitely Wayne Gallman. And there is an opportunity here, obviously, because the Rams, as well as they played against Adrian Peterson before their bye on hold this season, they've obviously been struggling against backs. So, I wouldn't feel good about it, but I do think I know I ranked Gallman the highest this week. And if you bear with me, I've got Gallman at RB27 this week. So certainly a flex worthy play, but I'm guessing you're rolling your eyes there in the Crystal Lake studio. Do you think that sounds crazy? And then what about Shepard and Ingram?
Well, I don't think it's crazy, because at some point they're going to realize this is the lost season. They might as well go with the rookie back and see what they have, right?
Exactly. That's my thought process.
Yeah,
behind it, yes.
And this is a good matchup for him. I'm not sure they're to the point where they're going to be able to make that decision, which, I mean, they should have made that decision about 3 weeks ago, but it's going to happen eventually. And I don't know. I mean, Ingram, you're playing him. He's just getting too much work. Sterling Shepard, I'd probably pass if I didn't have to play him this week. I don't really want to deal with the Rams defense against Eli Manning. I just don't know if Shepard's going to have enough time to get downfield to get consistent looks.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And it's, I believe, the first game back, so maybe it's kind of a wait and see on him. But he should be, I would imagine he's going to get a lot of chances, just with the injuries they're dealing with before this is all said and done.
Yeah, probably right. So let's move on to a game that actually has some fantasy goodness here, it looks like. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. I think the over-under is actually creeping up. It opened at like 50. I think I want to say it's up to 51.5. So apparently the bettors think that this game is going to be a pretty high-scoring game. What do you think here happens with the Saints backfield? Let's start there, because Mark Ingram had a couple fumbles last week. Do you think that they go ahead and forgive him and continue to give him an even timeshare essentially with Alvin Kamara, or does Alvin Kamara maybe see the touches tick up?
I think the former. I think the Saints would be crazy not to forgive Mark Ingram. I actually kind of featured him in my running back rankings this week in the short intro that I write. Just a quick reminder for anyone who may have forgotten that the last time that Mark Ingram was in the doghouse, Sean Payton's doghouse, it was just last year. It was after his second fumble in as many weeks, I believe, out in Seattle, and he got benched in that game. Came back the next week with his best fantasy performance of the season, and then over the 8 weeks that followed that, he was an RB1 four times. So he has said that he is pissed. He knows that he almost, marred a big victory for his club, and he exploded against the Niners last year, the worst run defense in football. So the Bucs aren't quite that, but they're pretty bad, and I see some interesting parallels. He goes from one really good front in Seattle last last year where he has the fumbling issues. This time it's Chicago's front and then has a chance for redemption. And man, I think he's going to find it. Not to mention the fact, as great as Alvin Kamara has been, and he has been great, he's not a feature back. It's not like you want to give him 20 touches. I think you risk getting him hurt that way. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, I mean, they're giving him consistently, 14, 15, 16 touches.
Most as a receiver, though, I think, right? Yeah.
I mean, he's had the last 3 weeks, he's had 10 rushes, 9 rushes, and 8. So he's getting some work there.
Maybe that's sustainable. I don't think you tempt fate and try and ratchet that up, especially when you know Ingram now has a chip on his shoulder and after seeing what he did last year. But that's just my two cents. And look at the impact Ingram, the effect Ingram has had on that offense over the past 4 weeks too. It's not like you can suddenly just drop him out of the equation. Kind of stopping the train.
That's not what I was saying. I don't think he's going to get punished either, actually. But I do think it's going to probably continue to be about it's been pretty close to 50-50 timeshare here the last 2 weeks now. I think it's going to stay that way. I actually think they're both pretty good plays.
Yeah, I do too. The beauty of what they've actually done going back to last season, remember when Ingram got hurt, and we don't want to spend too much time on this game, but when Ingram got hurt last year, it was Tim Hightower who busted out. So it's interesting to see that for a second year in a row for fantasy owners, there's plenty of meat on the bone for two backs there with the Saints.
Yeah, I think Sean Payton's a good coach. He realizes he has two good running backs. He has a pretty good defense. You've seen them not have to rely on Drew Brees as much. I don't think Sean Payton's going to move away from that, even against a bad Tampa Bay defense. Tampa Bay secondary. I'm not saying Drew Brees can't have a bad game because it is the Tampa Bay, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no reason for them to come out and throw the ball 45 times in this game.
Oh, yeah. No, so, I'm fully with you. And it does sound like Jameis Winston's on track to play. There were some rumblings early in the week that after his struggles once again with that injured shoulder, maybe it would be Fitzpatrick time. But it does sound like it will be Jameis Winston. And now, having said all that, Marshawn Lattimore just won Rookie of the Month. He's quickly blossoming into a lockdown guy. So I think expectations need to be tempered with Mike Evans. I don't think you trust Jameis Winston right now in this spot. Doug Martin to me looks like the one really solid play on the Bucs side of the ledger. What about you?
Yeah, I love Doug Martin. I've been saying it for weeks. The work is there. He's getting the touches. It's going to happen.
Right.
This is probably the best matchup he's had so far. In terms of facing a run defense, this might be the week. I think if you own him, you should be feeling pretty good about it. Yeah, and you're right. Lattimore looks fantastic. Now, that being said, the rest of the secondary, particularly over the middle, is kind of hit and miss. If you can attack him, it's going to be DeSean Jackson. And once again, love Cameron Brate. He hasn't hit the end zone for a couple weeks here, and that's gonna regress because he's too big of a target in the red zone. So I continue to think he's the guy to play there, not OJ Howard.
And Kyle, I continue to think that the Bears scored a touchdown via their tight end last week. So,
oh, God.
We're together on that one. And let me just add, because this is breaking, and obviously by the time this podcast hits you, you'll know already, but it has been confirmed. Deshaun Watson is going to undergo season-ending ACL surgery. So it gives me the shivers even saying it. It's just such an awful, awful break for the Texans, and I feel for them and their outstanding rookie.
It's bad for the Texans. It's bad for football in general. The injuries have been just awful this year. You look at a league that's already starved for quality quarterbacks. You got Aaron Rodgers out, you got Deshaun Watson out.
Andrew Luck goes to injured reserve today as well. Brutal.
Yeah, I unfortunately I feel like we're gonna see a lot of bad football in the second half of this season.
Well, then at least we know it won't be any different than the first half of the season.
All right, well, let's move on to the afternoon games. And we got Arizona at San Francisco. It's not a lot of fun here in this game. Carson Palmer obviously out for the year. You're going to get Drew Stanton versus C.J. Beathard.
Can't wait, baby. Can't wait.
I know. do you have any faith in Adrian Peterson? John Sally and I talked about this in the DFS version a little bit. I am running away as quickly as humanly possible, but, I mean, it is the San Francisco defense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Peterson's a solid play this week just because it is the San Francisco defense and just because we know how challenged that passing game is going to be. So do I have a lot of confidence? No, but when I, you know, with the bye weeks and with what there is to choose from, I ended up with Adrian Peterson as RB8 this week. So that might sound insane. That might be insane. But I don't know how, if you were able to grab him, you're not starting him against the 49ers. And Larry Fitzgerald, too, Kyle. I know you hate to hear it, but if you got him on your roster and you don't have the best wide receiver depth in your league, you probably have to play Fitzgerald just based off volume, too.
Yeah, thinking of volume, you're probably playing Pierre Garçon, but now that I look at it, it looks like he has a neck injury. Should be interesting.
Yep, and
I have to pay attention.
And a pain in the neck matchup, of course, in Patrick Peterson. Pierre Garçon had just 40 something yards the first meeting. So yeah, I he's a guy I don't even feel as good about those as those two Cardinals we mentioned. And I guess that leaves us with just one to discuss for San Francisco. What about Carlos Hyde?
Fade. Yeah, I mean, if you have him, you're probably playing him, given the lack of options at running back this week, but I don't feel good about it. And then, you know,
Cardinals just got worked by Gurley before their bye. Otherwise, had been pretty darn good on the ground defending the run anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. This is just an ugly game in general. So let's move on. Let's get out of there. And let's go over to a game that I think is going to be pretty intriguing, actually, a potential playoff preview here with Washington at Seattle. Go ahead and fire up a bunch of people in this game, I'd say, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got the Seahawks definitely in the exploit category of my exploit avoid column this week, no doubt about it. Jimmy Graham gets the secondary that has allowed the most receiving yardage to the tight end position in the league. Jimmy Graham went from on the trading block to the fourth quarter hero within a span of a few hours last week. So I think you feel good about him. I think there's now officially room in the Seahawks passing attack for both Tyler Lockett and Paul Richardson alongside Doug Baldwin, and especially against this Washington secondary. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, here's the thing. I went ahead and dropped Paul Richardson a few weeks ago. I think during their bye week, I just didn't have room to keep him on the roster. He hadn't done much. I liked him, and I liked the fact that he was starting in this offense, so I just couldn't, and now I'm watching three touchdowns in the last two games and kind of sad.
He's been their red zone guy, actually, even more so than Doug Baldwin, so I think that's what separates him from Lockett. He's Richardson's got five touchdowns, Lockett has zero, so yeah, it's tough. You know, we should do a separate podcast about all the guys I decided to, for all the time I waste, Kyle, on who to drop and who to keep. It seems like I always choose the wrong dude, and I end up regretting it a couple weeks later, but I know we don't have time on today's podcast for it, so maybe we'll have to discuss it later. We can lament over a beer or something like that.
Yeah, and on the other side, I kind of like this spot for Kirk Cousins again. I know they're going to Seattle. I kind of thought that Seattle defense would do for a bit of regression. They got hit last week. The problem is I'm not sure who he's going to throw the ball to on a weekly basis here. Jamison Crowder finally has a good game last week, now has the hamstring issue. Doesn't sound like Jordan Reed's going to play in this game. Sounding pretty bad. I guess you can go out and snatch up Vernon Davis, who's performed well when given the opportunity, even though at his age. Is there any wide receiver I don't know. Josh Doctson, maybe?
Yeah, that's the epitome of a dart throw this week. He's just he's a boomer bust touchdown proposition right now, so wouldn't feel great about that. I do have Vernon Davis as tight end 11, and I do have Kirk Cousins as my QB 12. I'm not super excited. I guess just keep an eye on the status of his offensive line, because it's obviously just in tatters right now from an injury standpoint, and that can be a pretty scary thing going into Seattle. So keep an eye on that, but he still has a low-end starting grade. And, you know, other than Chris Thompson and Vernon Davis, I'm probably steering clear. And again, a conversation for another day, but Chris Thompson will be a part of that conversation of guys that I drop like an idiot.
Yeah, I feel like Washington's going to score points in this game. I just don't know where they're going to come from. You know what I mean?
It could be. It could be coming off that Seattle defensive performance. I do not blame you for thinking.
At the end of the day, it's going to be like a 35-28 ball game. And I'm going to, but I don't have any idea where those points are coming from, at least on the Washington side. So let's go ahead and move on to another, actually, a pretty intriguing game here. Kansas City at Dallas. Obviously, Zeke Elliott not looking like he's going to play in this game. Reports today that it sounds like Alfred Morris is going to be the lead back. Do you got any interest in these guys?
You know, actually, I do. Yeah, I think I'm just going to give you my bold prediction. I've got two of them both coming from the Dallas game right now. I think Alfred Morris is an RB1 this week. I have him as RB11 overall. And it's in large part because the Chiefs defense has just been so bad. And those turnovers they generated last week covered it up. But they got gashed on the ground by Denver, which had done nothing the previous 2 weeks. So, yeah, I think Alfred Morris slides right in and has himself a nice day. And then the second half of my bold call isn't for this week. It's just for rest of season. Rod Smith, before the fantasy season is over, is going to do something to make you know him as more than Jalen Smith's brother and a preseason stud. I just have this weird feeling, Kyle. I don't really have anything to go off of, but I think Rod Smith gets involved.
I had no idea who Rod Smith even was when you said that. I had to go click on the name.
Ohio State and the younger brother of Jalen Smith, and looked really good in the preseason. He's a scrappy dude. They like him and kept him even though they have such a great backfield depth situation. And Jerry Jones actually mentioned him on Monday on a Dallas radio station. It was after Alfred Morris and Darren McFadden, but said that both DMC and the younger, I don't know if he's younger or older, but the other Smith will have a chance to mix in there.
Okay. Well, anything else on Dallas that you're interested in, I guess?
I've left you pretty much speechless. And yeah, that's what I was hoping for.
Well, so. You just told me Adrian Peterson was your running back 8 and Alfred Morris was number 11. And then I had to check a calendar to make sure it was still 2017.
I know. It's a bye week thing, though. Seriously, if all hands are on deck, these guys aren't rated quite as highly, but that's what I've been finding the past 2 weeks when 6 teams rest. So as far as other stuff, not really. I mean, you know, it's now or never for Dez Bryant, I feel like. He's got the touchdowns that are kind of saving him right now, but career low yards per catch, just not really getting it done, and now he's got to try and do it without Zeke. So I'm anxious to see what Dak and Dez can do, likely, I should say, without Zeke Sunday.
All right. On the other side of the ball, I think it's pretty standard. Alex Smith at this point has shown enough consistency against, and particularly against this defense, you're going to play him. Kareem Hunt, obviously, every week play. Is there anyone kind of maybe a sleeper here that you think might get more involved?
Not really with the Chiefs. No, I think DeMarcus Robinson's kind of interesting, but he was pretty much silent versus Denver, and I don't think you're going to throw him back out there this week, even though it's a big drop off in his matchup. So yeah, that's what's weird about the Chiefs. They've been so good, but they're doing it with the same guys pretty much every week.
Okay, well, let's head over to the Sunday night game where Oakland is coming across country to face Miami. Derek Carr and the Raiders were kind of a disappointment at Buffalo last week. I know it was a West Coast team going east for a noon game, but I really thought that was a sneaky spot for them, and they didn't perform. And on the other side of the ball, I'm not sure exactly what Miami is doing. I know Ajay Ajayi had struggled this year, but they didn't get this did not make them a better team in any way. What exactly do you think their plan is?
I expect Kenyon Drake will get the first chance to be featured a little bit. He's big and he's fast and he's never really shown anything at the NFL level, but he does have better draft pedigree than both Jay Ajayi and certainly Damian Williams, the other guy there in the mix as a journeyman. So, I don't think you feel really very good about the run game, obviously, the week after they lose Ajayi. But I think there's going to be opportunities through the air with Jarvis Landry and with Devontae Parker, I believe, on track to get back this week against that Oakland secondary. So, and I think it's going to be Jay Cutler, too. It sounds like it's going to be a pain tolerance thing. And as long as it's less painful than watching Matt Moore last Thursday night, then I think we'll all be okay, Kyle.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Devontae Parker this week. I think the targets were there before the injury, and that everyone assumes that Jarvis Landry is going to see even more targets with Ajayi gone, but I think Devontae Parker is going to come back with a vengeance.
Yeah, we've seen it before. He's certainly put really solid stretches together, just not a whole campaign yet. So we'll see if he can put a half a season together. They certainly need him. And I like it. If you've been waiting on Parker, I think this is a good spot to unleash him again.
Well, on the other side of the ball, Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, pretty obvious. Any idea how the running back situation is going to shake out? Does Marshawn Lynch come back and after this one game suspension and just immediately take back control, or did Dwayne Washington show enough to maybe eat into some of this work?
Well, they both fumbled.
DeAndre Washington. I think I said Dwayne.
Yep. Yep, and both DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard fumbled, which kind of put a black cloud over their day, as if they need another one other than just going in to Buffalo and losing. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'd imagine they're going to ride Lynch as much as they have all season, to be honest. And I don't know if that excites me that much, because this Miami run defense is much better. So I'm just so disappointed and kind of just exhausted with the Raiders from a fantasy perspective, to be honest, Kyle. I'm kind of over them.
Are you an Amari Cooper owner?
I'm not, actually. That's the funny part. I mean, I'm just watching from afar. It's tough to see from one week to the next. So yeah, thank God I'm not one of his owners. But yeah, you know, Jared Cook has been arguably the most consistent element of that passing attack, and I think that kind of says it all.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to the last game of the week, which is a NFC North battle here with Detroit and Green Bay meeting up. Was not a great first start for Brett Hundley. Do you think now, with a little more time to prepare, he'll be in better shape this week, Arthur?
Yeah, I don't think it can be a whole lot worse, Kyle. So I have to assume he's going to do better, and I have to assume that Mike McCarthy spent the week finding ways to rebuild the offense around Aaron Jones, their exciting rookie running back, and then also finding a way to supplement, obviously, with a little heavier dose of chances for the playmakers, because Hundley just couldn't get anything going on down the field with Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson. So I think it's going to be better. You know, I'm not obviously rushing to go start Brett Hundley or anything like that, but I do imagine it'll be better. What do you think about that? And then what do you think about this Lions red zone offense?
Yeah, I think Green Bay with the time off is going to be able to figure out a better game plan. And most importantly here, I just very, very much dislike this Detroit team overall. and this just seems like a road game on Monday night at Green Bay. This just seems like a bad spot for Detroit. I actually think this is a spot where I needed a defense this week. I've been running with the Pittsburgh defense. They were on a bye, so I actually went out and picked up the Green Bay defense. I know that's probably not a popular decision, but I don't like this Detroit offense at all.
I'm with you, Kyle. Just let me throw in, and you probably knew this already, but Matt Stafford did average about 350 passing yards in two outings against Green Bay last year. So this is going to be a good test to see what that new Packers secondary looks like and what it can do to sort of slow down Stafford. But again, even 350 passing yards without any touchdowns, I mean, man, he was what, like 430 last week without a score. So it's a great way to throw a wrinkle in a fantasy outing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another one, another offense where I just don't feel like there's enough creativity there. You know, and the running back situation doesn't help. You know, I've never been a fan of Ameer Abdullah. Continue not to be a fan of Ameer Abdullah. I don't see a clear play here, really, anyone. I guess maybe Golden Tate. It looked like he was healthy last week after it looked like he was going to miss a significant amount of time. But I'm not chasing Marvin Jones, are you?
I'm not chasing him, but I think you could do worse. He had a 200-yard game against the Packers last year, you'll remember, and he's coming off a 100-yard game, and he looked pretty good, believe it or not, against the Steelers, which is a really good secondary. So I wouldn't be super excited about it, but I think you could do worse than Marvin Jones. I certainly think you could do worse than Golden Tate. I don't think you could do worse than any of the Lions tight ends in this one. So I'll leave it with that.
One more note I think we can make here is that, you know, temper your expectations for Jordy Nelson. He's probably going to get the Darius Slay treatment. But as we saw last week, while Darius Slay did a pretty good job against Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster went ahead and just destroyed Detroit. So I think you probably feel pretty good with Davante Adams on the other side.
It's a great point, Kyle, but I would just say this. The last few teams that have played against the Packers who have a star corner, and that includes the Vikings, they lined him up across from Davante Adams and not Jordy Nelson. So I'm not necessarily predicting that, but we have seen it a few weeks in a row now. And if that holds true, it could turn out to be Jordy that has a chance to feast. So against Nevin Lawson. So I wish I could tell you for certain that was what was going to happen. But if Terrell Austin plays in anything like Mike Zimmer did a couple weeks ago, it could actually be an opportunity for Jordy. So it's just something worth thinking about.
All right, well, let's go ahead and close it out with some bold calls here. I know you already have had a couple. Do you got one more you can give me?
I can try and think of one if you want to go first. And all I'll right. see what else I have here on my rankings.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead, and I already kind of alluded to it. I'm going to go with Devontae Parker as a wide receiver number one this week. I love this matchup. Mm-hmm. They're at home. He's healthy. I think that he's going to get a ton of targets against a bad Oakland secondary. I think he's going to break a big one. I feel good about him being a wide receiver number one.
All right, very nice. I like that. I don't have anything too exciting here. I'm just going to go. I'll go back to that Oakland game after I just told you guys how despondent and upset I am with this Raiders offense. Let me go ahead and say Marshawn's actually going to break out and have himself a worthwhile fantasy outing. I don't know if he'll be a top 12 guy. We'll say a top 15 guy, Marshawn, this week versus the Dolphins. And frankly, as bad as things have gone in Oakland, that's saying something from a fantasy perspective.
Okay, well, that will do it here for this week's podcast. We thank you for tuning in, and good luck in your matchups this weekend.